Hey, Chris Manning here with my co-host Evan Damrell on the Locked On Cavs podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. On today's show, we're going deep into the Cavs' win over the Utah Jazz, a 20-point win, a decisive road win for the Cleveland Cavaliers as they continue this West Coast road trip. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Before we get into the meat of today's show, we want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube, where we are just 58 subscriptions away from 1,000 subs, as the kids would say. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go into our show notes right now. I've made it easy for you. All I got to do is click the link that says Locked On Cavs YouTube, and it's going to take you to YouTube so you can subscribe right now. As I noted at the top, we're going to get into Cavs Jazz, starting with our big takeaway, getting into our awards, that is MVP, stat of the night, and play of the night, and emptying our notebooks from the game. But first up, Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Not a whole lot, man. We are about 2 weeks away from Legends of Arceus. They just dropped the gameplay overview trailer and looking forward to watching that. I'm really enjoying the Breath of the Wild vibes of that game. But speaking of games, I also had fun watching the Cavs last night. How are you, though?
I'm doing. We're doing over here in my neck of the woods. Evan, let's start with our big takeaway. So I think for me, it's just you win in the road. You go into Utah. You know, you're down. You know, Rondo doesn't play in this game due to a hamstring strain. You're obviously no Colin Sexton, no Ricky Rubio. This isn't a Cavs team that is exactly at 100%. Certainly didn't play a full smattering of a rotation in this game. And Darius Garland, I think, pretty clearly not at 100% as he's dealing with this back issue. But they went into Utah. They won. They beat a Jazz team that doesn't have Rudy Gobert right now, and that Joe Ingles got ejected fairly early in this game to take another key rotation piece away from Utah's rotation. So they go in. They win this game. They're 3-1 on this road trip, with the only loss coming to the Warriors. For a Cavs team that is still battling for position against Charlotte, against a bunch of other teams for that top six in the East, this is one of those wins that I think could matter later on.
Yeah, this absolutely is a win that could matter later on. I talked about this in the solo show, but Rajon Rondo isn't physically capable to play like extensive minutes. I think if he's dealing with hamstring issues, that's a lot more serious, I guess, than Darius's back problems. But I initially jotted down this note just saying like the Cavs need to probably rest Darius, and it became more evident that like he needs just like a game or two off just to completely rest his back. Like, it's super promising he was able to get it out and get a triple-double. But he's a key piece long term. Like, you need to think about the long term and not just the short term as well. But yeah, this is a good win. Not having Rondo stunk. Lamar Stevens was awesome. This is arguably, would you say this is Lauri Markkanen's best game of his career?
The best game of Lauri
with the Cavs. The best game of Cavalier.
I mean, maybe. So. I don't. You know, I'd have to go back and like look at that and like critically think about it. But it felt like his best game in a while.
I mean, 8 of 11 from the floor, 4 or 5 from three. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. Like, he played to his size a little bit too. This is what the Cavs kind of need from Lauri Markkanen. I think he's always going to be hit or miss. Like, there's going to be nights where he's fairly inconsistent. Again, I said on yesterday's show, I'm not wrong often. I'll admit I was wrong on the addition of Lauri Markkanen too. The Cavs are making this work. Maybe they are playing the big lineup out to the furthest of their ability. I mean, did it. Utah may not be a good indicator because it's wild to think that their defensive efficiency is worse than the league with Rudy Gobert not on the floor for the last few games, because their perimeter defense is putrid, and I think Gobert covers up a lot of those issues, and I think not having Hassan Whiteside last night definitely didn't help either. But no, this was a fun win overall. Like, it definitely felt like it was over midway into the third. You could tell the Cavs were trying to get Darius the triple-double. I think JB kept Darius in to get the triple-double. And I'm also glad JB pulled Darius early just to give him some extra time to rest his back.
Yeah, I mean, they played till the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, so that's like a microcosm of that. But Evan, what's your big takeaway from this one?
I mean, like I said, it was the fact that just Darius needs time to rest. This is the best Lowry marketing game. More than anything, like Lamar Stevens has really stepped up, and this is probably his best game as a Cavalier. I mean, career high 23 points, 1 of 2 from 3-point range, 10 of 15 from the floor, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, no blocks, 1 turnover. Like, Lamar made an impact in a lot of ways. He really got things rolling. I think he scored 15 straight points for the Cavs to start the third quarter. So, which is just absolutely bonkers to think about. But like, the guy who went undrafted and was completely overworked.
I think he had 11 in the quarter. I don't think he had 15 straight.
That's what the broadcast said last night, because I wrote it down on my phone. But either way, Lamar is just playing really well. I think I asked Darius about this last night. I'm like, you guys are close as his teammate and as his friend. Like, how great is this for him? He's like, oh no, this is super great. He's like, I think Lamar has made a point to prove that, or he's proved a point that he should be in our rotation permanently. And like, I think he's just saying like, listen, when Isaac comes back, Isaac will start, but Lamar should not lose minutes and should be a part of this rotation going forward. And I think he should. He's played really well for Cleveland. He's arguably, like JB said, like he's like arguably the best player in Penn State basketball history. So he called it a bit of a blessing in disguise that he ended up in Cleveland, but it all works out. And then Lamar just kind of is just gracious and victory and humble and through all of it too, because he's just making it more about his teammates than himself post game, which is always just cool to see.
Yeah, we'll talk about him more. Just to fact check his points, I don't think he had 15 straight, but he had 15 points in the third quarter in 8 minutes and 42 seconds, which is on 6 of 8 shooting, 1 of 1 from three, which is kind of wild. Two other things I'm going to point out. I'm going to boost your little ego here that it doesn't need any more boosting, but you had a good tweet last night. This is nuts. Kyrie Irving, CJ Miles, Joel Dang, Tristan Thompson, and Varejao was a starting five the last time the Cavs won in Utah is absurd. Like, absurd. Mm-hmm. I was young then. And then also, Miles Garrett on the Evan Mobley Rookie of the Year, and it's not close train. Shouts to Miles Garrett.
Bro, we were like 2021 last time the Cavs won in Utah. That's how we weren't young, but we were young.
I mean, that's like young and stupid age, if in my mind. That is classic.
That's true. I didn't have gray in my beard and a constant sense of fear and dread just emanating through my soul.
I've always had that, but you know, it's more in control now than it was when I was 21.
That's so fair.
I just am waiting for like the first Browns player who's like really into the Cavs just to like tweet a mean thing about Kevin Pangos. I just think it'd be funny. It won't happen.
It might be Greg Newsom. Greg Newsom's like pretty invested
in the Cavs. Yeah, he says that he watches every game and he's the biggest Cavs fan on the team and he'll be an all-star. So would like to see just some.
He's a pretty common guest at home games.
Yeah, I know.
When the Browns like aren't on the road and stuff, like I said, despite the extracurriculars at Berea, Greg Newsom found the time to come watch the Cavs.
Yeah, Garrett was at the Warriors game, if I'm not mistaken, and Jed Wills.
He hugged Steph Curry, and people took it the wrong way.
Yeah, well, people can. And then Jed Wills was there with the head of his agency, Rich Paul, at a game, which is very funny. They threw Jed Wills on the Jumbotron, and then there's just Rich Paul, like, in frame, like probably doesn't need to be in frame. Yeah,
whatever. Paul reenactment.
All right. After the break, we're gonna give out awards at his MVP, stat of the night, play of the night. Evan, first, you're gonna tell everyone about our friends at Prize Picks.
Absolutely. Hey, Cavs fans, you've been hearing me tell you about Prize Picks for months. Have you signed up yet? If you haven't, now is the perfect time. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive, no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Listeners get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, but only if you use our code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to all Locked On Cavs fans only when you use the code NBA. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of from points, assists, rebounds, threes made, and so on. You can pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. I drove over to the state of Pennsylvania, and I recently played a flex play entry with over with an over on Joel Embiid scoring and an under on Aaron Rodgers completion and doubled my money. It took me all of 30 seconds to make my selections. It's that easy, folks. And that's the beauty of it too, is you can cross stream on sports. You don't have to stick just the NBA. You can do it all. Prize Picks also, and this is the next point, you also, it also allows mixed sport entries, and you can use the award winning app on both the App Store and the Google Play Store. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So if you're interested today, go to prizepicks.com and go to the App Store and download the app. All users that deposit and use our promo code NBA will get $50 free if your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. That's right. All users that deposit and use our promo code NBA will get 50 big ones free if you use Prize Picks entry scores and they score a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
Okay, moving on to our MVP. I think the obvious pick is just Lamar Stevens. Look, Lamar Stevens had a game here where...
The obvious pick's Darius Garland for getting a triple-double, dude.
Can you let me take a pause in my sentence? I'm going to chuck my coffee through the web stream. Killing me. Look, Lamar Stevens in this game, you said it in the first segment. I think it's probably been true for a while, but I think it's becoming apparently true, especially as we both tend to think that depth is a weakness for the Cavs. They should just like play more dudes for the sake of this being an 82-game season that they're halfway through. He had a game last night where, like, yes, you look at the three-point shooting, and I think fitting him, Okoro, and Rondo, and like even Allen, if you want to put another him as a non-shooter, and I think you kind of have to for all the positives that he provides, like that's a lot of non-shooters in a modern NBA rotation. But he kicked ass on offense last night, particularly just beating up smaller guards than Mitchell and Conley. And if that's not always going to happen, there's times where he's going to be guarded by actual wings. He's going to be guarded by fours. He's going to be guarded by bigger dudes. But when you put Lamar Stevens out there, he has a little bit of ability to attack those smaller guards. I think he cuts well. I think he has good defensive ability. I don't think rate him as nearly as high of a, like an on-ball defender as I do Okoro, but it's another quality wing-ish, point-of-attack-ish defender that you have in your rotation. And this is a guy that like just is playing more confident. And I think like, again, like I am an advocate for depth is the Cavs' biggest weakness. I think Lamar is a way to get that rotation to 9. It is again going to be tricky to find the right lineups, to find the right stuff as we're kind of going along here. There will be some lumps, I would suspect. He's not going to have offensive games like this every night out. But if he can be something like this and the effort he plays within defense carries game to game, which I think it will, this is the kind of guy that you should just keep in your rotation. And I think for me, he's clearly the MVP of this game.
Oh yeah, no, he was my MVP pick other than Darius, because Darius got the triple double. And I think we should just stress that again. I think that is your stat of the night. So we'll talk about it either way. But yeah, Lamar was just sensational in this one. He made a really good point that he takes advantage of beating up on smaller guards. I think somebody who covers the Penn State Nittany Lions was on his Zoom feed when he had media availability last night. And they asked him, like, did this feel like Penn State to you? And he's like, yeah, a little bit. He's like, I was getting flashbacks just because I was able to get so many easy looks at the bucket and the paint. And he's really good as a slasher. I think if you can get a three-pointer or two out of him on the night, like, that's pretty successful, I'd say. But this is just, it's kind of encouraging. Like, he brought the ball up a few times. He initiated the offense, didn't have a lot of assists. Maybe if you tracked hockey assists somehow, some way, he might have a few of those, but like
those are available, in average NBA.com, but haven't looked at that.
Yeah. I haven't taken a glance either, but Lamar is playing really well. He has really stepped up when the Cavs needed him to. I asked JB about this after Sacramento, or he came into the league as a four, and the Cavs asked him to play the three, and then he hardly played for the Cavs this season. And JV said, okay, Isaac's out. Lamar, we need you to start at the two and defend probably the best perimeter player on a night-to-night basis like Isaac used to. Like, that's a pretty tall ask, and he's more than stepped up to the plate, and he's just been awesome. Like, full stop. Like, I've enjoyed kind of just watching him make the most of this opportunity. And, yeah, I agree with you. Like, the Cavs are a team that have depth at some positions, but with COVID and how banged up a lot of those key positions are, a la Colin Sexton and Ricky Rubio, and now Isaac Okoro, like, the Cavs have to do a lot of tinkering with their rotations. Like, if you go on ESPN for the depth chart, right now active players for Cleveland is just point guard, and then they list a bunch of power forwards and a bunch of centers. So, like, JB's making this work. He has all season. I think getting Jetty back or having Jetty back will help. I think getting Isaac back into the fold probably in the next week or two will help a lot too. But no matter what, Lamar Stevens has cracked this rotation and he needs to be in it. Like he's playing hard, and Lamar teased the fact that JB Bickerstaff is kind of one of his biggest advocates. So I think him having JB in his corner helps a lot too.
Yeah, we'll see how this is kind of just noting for the year. He's at 33.3% on three-pointers. One of the best of our friends sets. He's making a little under half, like on average, like basically it'll be like a three every other game in 14 and a half minutes on average. So just worth an eye. He was at 16% last year, for whatever that is worth. Okay, Evan, play of the night. I just, for me, this is a vibe play of the night, but it is Kevin Love hitting a three, to put the Cavs with 20 points in the third quarter, comes off the floor, he's just beating his chest. Darius plays really fast to set it up, makes a read to just find the open Love. Just good simple offense, good mojo. The vibes are good. This just felt like kind of like the victory cigar on this win to me. So that just popped to me. There's a certain Lauri Markkanen play that I think deserves like praise, but this was like the victory cigar of it all that mm-hmm. felt right to me.
Yeah, no, I think the bromance, or the elder statesman bromance, between Kevin Love and Darius Garland is really cool. I just enjoy it. Apparently, Kevin was intentionally boxing out and funneling rebounds towards Darius to make sure that he secured the triple-double in the third quarter. So that's also pretty fun, too. But my play of the night pick goes hand-in-hand with Darius's big night. It's just the bucket that secured the triple-double in the third quarter. It's a milestone for his basketball career. He said he kind of underplayed the significance of it, but it's also historically pretty significant. This is the first triple-double period since LeBron in Game 3 of the 2018 Finals and during the 2017-18 regular season. It's the first regular season triple-double since, again, LeBron, when the Cavs took on the Sixers towards the end of the season before they went in as the underdogs against Indiana. So that's just a simple thing. I think it's just cool to see that the Cavs are kind of really finally building themselves out of the shadow of LeBron. I don't know if they're fully out of it yet, but there's a little bit of light that's kind of dimming the shadow a little bit. And I think Darius is definitely the most important player still and kind of leading the charge there.
All right, to move on to stat of the night. So as you alluded to, Darius Garland, first triple-double since LeBron in the 2018 Finals. His reaction was very fun when you could see him just kind of celebrating it. This is also just coincidentally, as people on YouTube see you take a big old yawn. On a night where Kyle Kuzma gets pissed at Corey Kispert for not taking the three that potentially caused him a triple-double, and Tyler Herro had a rebound snatched away from him to prevent him from a triple-double, Darius gets his in the third quarter. Evan, per the broadcast, this was according to the Bally Sports broadcast, whoever did the research.
Culture, man, undefeated.
But per the broadcast, he's the last Cavs guard to have a triple-double was Kyrie Irving in a game against the Jazz in February of 2014.
It's funny how that works, huh? That might have been the same. No, it wasn't the same win. It might have been the same win when last time the Cavs won in Utah, too.
It said versus, so I didn't check to like see if they just like put versus and it wasn't at, but
I'm searching.
Evan, you have a stat of the night.
Oh no, it was at home then.
Yeah, so the versus I assume meant it at home, but I didn't check. But Evan, you have a stat of the night to get to now. So
I do. I have a statistic of the night. The Cavs have been struggling on the offense, or giving up second chance opportunities, but tonight they only gave up four offensive boards and two second chance points. Granted, Utah didn't start a traditional center, and they didn't really have much traditional center play, period. But it's encouraging, I guess, to say, like, JB was less than thrilled about the team's performance in their last few games. He said they weren't playing their style of basketball, and this kind of felt like their style of basketball, where they were controlling the glass, and the rebounds would just kind of funnel onto their guards, because then the guards can initiate a fast break sequence or try and play fast and downhill. So it's the Cavs playing their brand of ball, and I think it goes hand in hand with them just kind of cleaning up some of their offensive issues in terms of rebounding.
Yeah, we didn't touch on it, but the Lauri Markkanen put back dunk that he had, I think it was in the second quarter. I think it's just a thing where, like, I think he should just crash the glass a lot, because he's like 7 feet. Like, just use your size, dude. And I think that was an example of like, okay, this is a way to punish teams for sticking guards on you. Like, there were possessions in this game where the Jazz were like, you know what, we're gonna put Mike Conley on Lauri Markkanen, and just like, that's, we're cool with that. Like, Royce O'Neal's gonna guard Darius. and Conley is just going to like take on Markkanen, and we're cool with that. And like that is somewhat telling as far as what other teams think of Lowry and how much of what kind of threat they view him as. So I think if you can find ways to maximize his size, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for kind of getting him kind of going a little bit. All right, after the break, we're going to clean out our notebooks from this game. I think some Evan Mobley discussion, as usual, is worth noting. But first, I'm going to tell everyone about our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online is the official betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network, and they want to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue the march to the playoffs, or if you're in football, in the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. There's a new year, and that means a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you go check out that new website. All you got to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, to get started. From football to basketball to hockey to boxing and UFC, write your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet and all of your favorite sports. That includes the NBA, that includes the NFL, UFC, all that stuff. And then remember, it's BetOnline where the game starts. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for that welcome bonus. Okay. Evan, what other things from this game, Cavs world in general, kind of you want to talk about in the next like 8 minutes or so before we get the heck out of here?
I think what JB said in Kelsey Russo's piece, it was a really well done one-on-one she had with JB that she got out right before Cavs Jazz. It kind of got buried underneath all the other news, just talking about the Kobe Altman extension, and that was really good. And I think JB touched on it really a little bit pregame, and it made me chuckle, but it made me think of us, where he's just, JB said, like, an organization that's constantly in flux cannot be stable. And that's not what we are anymore. And I'm just like, yeah, that's fair. So I think it's just, you know, I'm interested to see where the Cavs go from here. I still don't think they play conventional basketball, but that's fine. I guess they're playing their own style, which it's only weird if it doesn't work. But JB has a point. Like, this organization cannot be successful if at the top there isn't stability within the front office at the general manager position and also at the head coaching position as well, because I don't know, man. It's just kind of where I've always just thought about that. Like, it's a good piece by Kelsey. Like, she did a good job. I think JB does give good answers when you ask him some thoughtful questions, at least. Yeah, and I agree with JB, like, and it just made me chuckle because it's something we preached for the longest time. It's like, this Cavs team's like dangerously unstable, and now they're showing signs of stability, and I don't know what to do with my hands.
I mean, I want to see it sustained before we're like,
they're showing. That's why I said, like, they're showing signs. I need it to sustain for me. Like, yes, they are a stable organization, because things could get wacky like tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to just see how this sustains the rest of the season, but the early signs are good. I mean, I think part of that is frankly just like, I think having, you know, Evan Mobley really helps. I think Mobley is having a little bit of a love. I mean, we've seen the statistics on offense that have seen him, I think, look much better on that end of the floor. I think you're seeing him be more physical, and I think overall the Cavs are having something of they're adding in some stuff on their offense that I find interesting. I think Zach Lowe, because Zach Lowe's very good, wrote about this last week. But if you watch the games, just sometimes watch Kevin Love on offense, because he's doing some mini kind of like light diet versions of Kevin Love Minnesota stuff. It didn't work last night, but there was a play last night where he got the ball basically a little above the elbow, and Jared Allen set a back screen for Darius Garland, and they tried to whip the ball to Darius cutting off of a screen like that. And, like, that is a new wrinkle to the offense. That is a newish addition to what they're doing here, and like, that's really, really cool. That is like signs of growth. That is signs of trying to add into your offense and layer it up to take some responsibility off of Darius' shoulders so he doesn't have to do everything. I think it is kind of understanding that, like, you know, Rondo is not going to be a one-on-one Rubio replacement, which JB has said, but I think it's pretty true. And I think, like, especially if he misses some time, and like, even though Brandon Goodwin like hit a nice pull-up three last night, and I thought the minutes he provided were okay, you're just going to still miss Rubio, and you're going to obviously miss Colin Sexton kind of doing some of that stuff as well. So I think leaning on Kevin Love to do some of that stuff is not the worst thing in the world. And then the other thing I want to give the Utah Jazz is, I don't think I've seen a team all year defend Kevin Love's pump fakes better, because it seemed like they were scouted to not fall for Kevin Love, that he loves to do that pump fake, take a dribble and reset and then fire off his three. They were like not flying past him on those pump fakes. No, so like that,
they didn't
that
bite on him at all.
No, they didn't bite on him at all. And like, I kind of just salute to the Jazz for handling that. And Kevin just kind of still having to navigate that. But that was like the first time all year that I think I've seen a team like defend that well for four quarters, or at least until like the game was out of hand and like nothing else really mattered.
Are you surprised though, since it is a Quinn Snyder coach? No,
that's one of the best. That's one of the best coach teams in the league. And you know, obviously, I think the perimeter defense is like obviously a big concern there. They've lost four in a row now. Go check out Locked On Jazz if you want some whatever David Locke's going to talk about on that show. But like, I'm a sucker for like really random little mini things sometimes that like geek me out. And like, that was one of those things where like it kept happening. And I was like, oh, that's like the Kevin Love's like kind of go to little pump fake thing here is not working in the way that it normally does. And it hasn't quite affected his mojo. Evan, did you feel like the Cavs missed Rondo in a significant way in this game?
Yeah, I would say they would, just because Darius doesn't look quite right. Like, I think some people are going to try and detract and just say he's playing poorly, but the Cavs have no alternatives at point guard right now, because hamstring injuries are a lot trickier, and I think the Cavs might need to put Rondo on ice for a few games until he's 100%, but I think they did miss him. Just because, like, there's a bit of that playmaking punch, and I think just having a point guard on the floor at any given moment helps. Because, like, no disrespect to Brandon Goodwin, but Brandon Goodwin just does not bring the same juice that Rajon Rondo does. Ditto for Kevin Pangos, but Kevin Pangos is now a fourth-string point guard. Shouts to friend of the show and Fee the Sword social manager Ryan Morton for his small victory, but that's just, I don't know. I think they miss Rondo just because of the fact, like, they need a point guard on the floor at all times just to kind of make this big lineup work. And like, I know like JB is tinkering on the fly and maybe running. He ran a little point jetty at times last night too, which in theory worked. He ran Mobley as an offensive hub, which I would encourage them to do more of. They had Lamar Stevens initiate the offense, which in theory also works, but isn't a long-term solution. And I'm curious to see how this looks a few more games out to really say, like, okay, they miss Rondo a lot here because they just miss his playmaking bump.
Yeah, I think Stevens is like adequate to do some of that stuff on this kind of matchup. But like, I think if you're playing like a team with adequate wing defense, I think probably not. I do want more of Mobley posting up though. And that's like a weird thing to say. I still think they're a little static. I still think it's a little like throw him the ball and watch. But number one, I think his feel for when they double team him has gotten much better, and teams are very aggressive about double teaming him because they're just like, give the ball to these guys who can't shoot and see if they can do something. The teams are going to keep doing that. And I think Evan Mobley is genuinely playing more physical basketball. He's actually setting some screens now. He's not just slipping everything. And he like, when he plants his foot and pivots and goes up for a shot or goes up for a little baby hook or tries to dunk it, he kind of goes through with a little bit of venom that I don't know that was there like 2 months ago. I don't know if this is me just like being in the moment a little bit too much on this. So if you know, you can tweet us and or shoot us an email.
No, he's playing tough, but I wonder if the lack of Rudy Gobert or really any defensive big presence.
Oh, yeah, but it's still like, but it's still like Eric Pascal was defending him at times, and Pascal's like a thicker dude, and like they were throwing time. Like there was a play.
Eric Pascal is my body type. Yes.
He ripped through his elbow, and it was like Mike Conley was like mad that they didn't call an offensive foul on Mobley for ripping through. And like Mobley is playing with like a little bit of venom and a little bit of carnage, a little bit of maximum carnage.
You still haven't seen the movie. I just, every time you see it say venom and like enunciate it, I just think of that terrible Eminem song.
Evan, here's a spoiler. As you know, I have a work trip next week to sunny Florida. I will be consuming both of those movies on an iPad as God intended on my flights. That's my promise to you.
Yeah, it's most like Florida style movie. Like,
yeah,
if you had to like make the official movie of the state of Florida, it's Venom and Venom Let There Be Carnage.
Yep, that's what we're doing on those flights. But fun Cavs game, 3-1 on this fun road trip. Very interesting that they're 3-1. Can't say I expected it, Evan, but here we are. Before we go, I want to give a little standings update as we're looking here on January 13th, recording this at 10:44 a.m. Here's the top six in the Eastern Conference as of right now. Chicago Bulls first, the Nets second, the Heat third, the Bucks fourth, the 76ers fifth, Cavs six. They are both, the Cavs and Sixers of note are both 4.5 games back of the top seeded Bulls. The Charlotte Hornets are seventh, and they are a game back of Cleveland, one game back in the, both the win and loss column. So they have two games in hand on the Cavs as of right now. Or just a full game back, of the Cavs as we kind of look out here. But that's where it stands. The Raptors are up to eighth, the Wizards ninth, the Celtics 10th, the Knicks 11th. The Knicks, as the first team out of the play-in tournament, are a full three games back of the Cavs as of right now. So let's keep that in mind. Let's think about that as we go forward here. We're going to keep doing standing stuff because we just kind of have to. Notably, Evan, the Atlanta Hawks are who I learned yesterday, according to from Locked On Hawks host Brad Rowland, have not won a home game since November.
That's pretty dreadful this year.
They've lost 9 home games in a row. And so it's like, but like they haven't won, like thinking about them not winning a home game since November, like absolutely melted my brain when he put that in the dime Slack. But they are 12th and they are 10.5 games back of the top seed, 6 games back of the 6 seeded Cavs. So the Cavs have some cushion here against teams we would expect to be in this playoff race in the play-in hunt. But we will see where this goes. This is going to be obviously worth watching. And I think how the Cavs can kind of potentially hold off Charlotte, hold off Toronto, hold off the Wizards, even though they're kind of not maybe as good as they were early in the year. That's going to be to see if they are a top six team or a play-in team. There's a thin line there. And I'm curious to see how they navigate it. Okay, that's going to be it. Thank you, by the way, for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every single day. Remember, go subscribe to us on YouTube if you have not already. Next up on Locked On Cavs, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about Eric Gordon, which Evan talked about on his Warner for Solo show earlier in the week. But I have some thoughts.
Wonderful.
Evan, I'm trying to turn the page and not snarky right now. You're going to make me snarky you. So just cool it there. Cool it there, Magoo. We're going to talk about the weekend games as well against San Antonio, against Oklahoma City, the last two games of this road trip before they come home and get the Brooklyn Nets on Martin Luther King Day. So a lot going on here. And look, if you want to have a great second listen, go make it Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. That's Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Until next time, I'm Chris. That's Evans. Locked On Cavs. Be well.